In his budget reply, the leader of the opposition, Angus Taylor, announced that an elected coalition government would disqualify permanent residents from being able to access welfare programs, and also the NDIS. Such a move would disenfranchise many migrants from obtaining the aged pension, job seeker, family tax benefits, and Austudy. I asked the Skills and Training Minister, Andrew Giles, what he thought the impact of these changes would be upon the many permanent residents living in Australia.
Well, I think before you get to the changes, what we see consistently from Angus Taylor is a refusal to actually engage with solutions to challenges Australia faces, and a focus always on dividing Australians by looking to lay the blame at people. And it was really instructive that one of his own senators called him out for his divisive rhetoric that he used in his budget reply. I know that many Australians are really concerned about this. The budget reply speech is normally an opportunity for an alternative Prime Minister to set out their vision for the country. Yet we didn't hear anything from Angus Taylor about education, about skills, about any plan to grow Australia and realise the potential of Australians. Instead, this dark rhetoric emulating One Nation in what I think many Australians rightly see as a race to the bottom, not a vision for the future.
So this announcement continues opposition's focus on immigration. There's this talk about permanent migrants not being able to access services. Is there a risk that the coalition's changes to permanent residency could lead to Australia adopting a two-tiered immigration system, such as countries like Germany, where migrants are not fulsomely welcomed and are merely treated as guest workers?
Well, for sure. There's a couple of points to be made here. The first one is modern Australia is a country built on pathways to citizenship and permanency. And one of the challenges that we grappled with in coming into government was that there were very large numbers of Australians kept permanently temporary by conscious policy decisions that the government Mr. Taylor was a member of, making it harder for people to get citizenship. People who come here from New Zealand in particular, people found to be refugees but placed on a cycle of temporary protection visas. This notion of being a guest worker society is something that we in the Labor Party have always rejected and will reject. It is a society which divides people, not one which seeks to bring people together. And for me, I see enormous strength in our diversity. I've just been visiting some apprentices at Ausgrid, and it was fantastic to see people from very different backgrounds coming together, learning their trade. That's what I see in Australia each and every day. That's such a strength we have if we choose to realise it. And it's so disappointing that Mr. Taylor doesn't recognise that fact of modern Australia.
I believe there are several million permanent residents living in Australia, and a really big issue are migrants from China, India, Nepal, Singapore and Indonesia who don't have the option of dual citizenship. This would mean that they would be forced to renounce the citizenship from their original country. What would be the consequences of migrants from these countries if the coalition's immigration policy was enacted?
It shows a lack of concern for the reality of the lives of many people in Australia, particularly from the countries you've mentioned. And we've seen so many hurtful and offensive comments from the Deputy Leader of the Liberal Party about Chinese Australians, from Shadow Minister Senator Nampajim Price about Indian Australians. And this compounds it by not understanding some of the real challenges that go to a person's pathway to citizenship. Decisions made by governments like that of China, which make it very, very difficult for people to continue their engagement with family members overseas. I think understanding that is much more important than stigmatising people for who they are. I mentioned earlier the contribution of Liberal Senator Andrew McLaughlin. And I think it's a really important one because the Liberal Party used to stand up for a belief in the individual, for treating people as they are, not by reference to the group they happen to be a member of. They stood proudly against racism. Now we see the Liberal Party treating people differently by reason of their background. We even see the notion of a discriminatory immigration policy flouted. These are really concerning developments, and they are very hurtful to many Australians.
In Angus Taylor's speech, we're hearing a lot of what used to be Pauline Hanson's vernacular of mass migration. How much do you think that the opposition's policy is now merely being dictated by the need of the coalition to out-Hanson Pauline Hanson?
Well, it seems clear that everything Angus Taylor does is driven by his sense of the threat of One Nation to him, not his sense of responsibility to build a stronger Australian nation. You see that in just about every utterance. And it's really disappointing to use the most neutral term possible, that the Liberal Party, the party of people like Robert Menzies, has descended to this level, that it is so addicted to following Pauline Hanson down any rabbit hole whatsoever. And it doesn't appear that this is a strategy that's leading to much success on their part, if the Farrah by-election is any indication, but they still seem addicted to focusing on Pauline Hanson's politics, not the needs of Australia, the Australian economy, and the diverse Australian communities.
What was interesting in that Farrah by-election was that the candidate from Griffith was actually arguing that they actually needed more skilled migration in the regions and that it would help to boost the growth of local economies. Is there a concern that with all this fear of mass migration that we are potentially leading to the country being pushed in increasingly isolationist territory?
Well, I think there are two things that Australians should expect from politicians. They should speak accurately. Clearly, in this space, we've seen a number of examples where Mr. Taylor and his shadow ministerial colleagues have not. And they should have concern for the real-world impact of their words on people and on communities. These should be absolute fundamentals across the political spectrum, and they're not things we are seeing from Mr. Taylor and his team. We, at the moment, as Mr. Taylor is well aware, have taken a range of steps to bring net overseas migration down and additionally to better target our skilled migration program on the needs of the Australian economy. Now, this should be something that we could talk about in a sensible and considered manner rather than through the use of inflammatory, divisive and, frankly, more often than not, wrong statements on the part of members of the opposition.
A lot of the anti-migrant rhetoric is focused on the increased cost of accessing accommodation, and the government, with its Homes for Australia, is aiming to build 1.2 million homes. But one issue that's putting a wrench in the wheels is a lack of qualified tradespeople. As the Skills and Training Minister, can you talk a little bit about the progress you've made to try and accelerate overseas credentials getting recognised?
Yes, as my friend Minister O'Neill makes clear, the housing challenge that we are confronting today has been a generation in the making. Part of that has been a generational challenge in trade skills. Turning that around is a huge focus of my efforts. Just this morning, I was with my New South Wales counterpart launching a TAFE Centre of Excellence focused on building modern housing skills out in the Penrith electorate. We've also got a lot of work to do when it comes to making sure our skilled migration mix is playing a complementary role, not challenging our domestic skilling. We're seeing that through more construction visas being granted. But this budget has recognised something that has been talked about for a little while, which is we've got to make it clearer and easier for people with skills from overseas to have those skills recognised and used in Australia. We made some investments a couple of budgets ago, which has enabled quicker recognition of construction skills. The very significant investment, $85.6 million in this budget, is really about supercharging that, making sure that skills assessments can take place more quickly and more flexibly. So we get the balance between people taking their skills into the labour force more efficiently while maintaining the very high standards that Australians are entitled to expect.
Finally, I mean, Australia is certainly not an outlier when it comes to ensuring that permanent residents have access to welfare and to disability support. Nearly all the developing countries have similar policies. Where permanent residents are able to draw upon services, do you think that the changes that the coalition is going to take to the next election could potentially make Australia a less attractive destination for highly coveted skilled migrants?
Well, I think it's the sort of thing that makes many people in the Australian community question their value and acceptance within the community or within sections of it. And that's something that I'm most concerned about. What I want is a country in which everyone feels that they belong, are respected and are valued. Clearly, Mr. Taylor's comments have resonated badly with many Australians who feel targeted by them, and even with at least one of his parliamentary colleagues who recognises the impact of this divisive rhetoric. When it comes to the rest of the world, I think we always need to think about how our actions make us look in an increasingly competitive marketplace. But my principal concern is making sure that Australians do not feel stigmatised because of where they're from. My view is it's what you do that makes you a good Australian, not any characteristic you bring to this country or how long you happen to have been living here.
So just recapping that, what is concerning is the impact that this could have on social cohesion, in that there is the risk of Australia having that sort of toxic background that we're seeing in the US and UK, where we are seeing similar anti-migration policies being floated.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, there's a big debate to be had about the impact of statements like this, and I think it's generous to describe them as policies. They're really just photocopies of whatever the One Nation talking point of last week was. But these are things that do have an economic impact, but they equally have an impact on our social cohesion and how people in Australian communities see themselves, how they feel that they are valued by others in the community. What we need to do is stand unambiguously for a country in which everyone is respected and everyone belongs. That's something that I'm concerned to do as a member of the Albanese government, something all of my colleagues are committed to making sure that everyone can realise their potential and make their contribution. That's what most migrants to Australia are simply looking to do. That's what we should all recognise.
That was the Skills and Trades Minister, Andrew Giles, speaking there to Stephen Hill.